Hey guys, what's going on? This is another post-game wrap-up. I'm your host, Grayson Grundhafer, and the Baylor Bears fell really disappointingly to the TCU Horned Frogs 16-9 at McLean Stadium, 11 a.m. game, and it was really an unfortunate loss for the Bears, that's for sure. It crushed their hopes at getting the bowl berth at this point. They still have another shot against Texas Tech next week, but this one was tough. It all shaped up for them to be able to beat, TCU for the first time in a few years and give them a shot to knock TCU out of a bowl game while also, clinching a bowl berth and going into that Texas Tech game, kind of free and confident, since you would already be in a bowl game. But that didn't happen for a variety of reasons. I'm going to kind of go through it a little bit differently this week. I'm going to talk first about the, I believe, five plays I have that, in my opinion, were the difference in the game. And you could definitely pinpoint one as more important than the other, but these five, to me, just really shaped the outcome of this game. And, one thing you're going to constantly hear me say throughout this is, to me, this was more about Baylor losing this game than it was about TCU winning it. And that's just my opinion on it, but sitting there watching that game, it just felt like, this isn't the first time this has happened, but Baylor just couldn't get out of its own way a lot of the time. And, a lot of that is, the production that's the product that's on the field as far as talent. A lot of that is, just being undisciplined at times as far as penalty goes and confusion like that. Really shaped this game. And it was really unfortunate to see that out of this Baylor team that it appeared had been gaining some momentum moving forward. But like I said, I'm going to start with the five plays that I think really impacted the outcome of the game. And then I'll kind of just go through, some of the stats and then, just talk a little bit about what I think going forward Baylor needs to do and just kind of a brief bit about what went wrong in this game. So I'll start with the five plays. And the first one, obviously, probably the most obvious one was first and goal at the TCU 6. And Baylor went, I formation with Jalen Hurd in the backfield, a play that they have ran consistently all year long in short yardage. And it has worked very effectively. So I've heard a lot of people say, why would you line up in I formation? Why would you hand the ball to Jalen Hurd, in that formation? Because it has worked. It has worked all year long. Against Texas, it worked. Against Oklahoma, it worked. I know that's probably not saying much now, but even against Iowa State, it worked. I mean, it has worked. And so on this particular play, first and goal, Charlie Brewer takes the handoff, turns around, and hits Giancarlo Valentine right off of the handoff. Ball comes loose. And TCU picks it up, and it was really unfortunate because, in my opinion, it was the right play call. They'd been so successful at it, and it just was poor execution, poor timing. It was just kind of a little bit of everything, and you can't have plays like that. You just can't. Not with a team that is still trying to fight for a bowl berth. Teams that are right around 500 usually can't do things to shoot themselves in the foot and still win football games. That's just how it is, even at home. And so that play right there was huge. It turned the momentum quite a bit in the game. And, I mean, that's probably the one that I would point to as the biggest one. But there were a few others. But what that one did was Baylor could have gone up, I believe, 13-3 or at least 9-3 on that drive. But instead, obviously, they fumble the ball. TCU gets the ball. They are third and seven, and this was a play that I think was a good play call, first of all, by TCU. It was a very nice play call. Second of all, this was all about, 100% about the players not making a play. And it was obvious. So Jalen Reagor catches the ball on a screen play. He breaks or makes a guy miss five times. So five guys were put in the position to make a play. So Phil Snow's play call put guys in position to tackle Jalen Reagor. The problem was Jalen Reagor was the best player on the field on Saturday. And what did he do when he caught the ball? Made guys miss, broke a tackle, got downfield, went 65 yards, I believe, to the house. And, you know, it just was one of those plays. Free points. And, you know, TCU had their backup quarterback in at that point, and it was an easy throw for him and allowed him to kind of get in a rhythm. It allowed TCU to get a lead. And it was really unfortunate to see that for Baylor, because, you know, the way the game flipped after that was huge. And that was just a big one that I, you know, it's just one of those players making a play. And that's exactly what Jalen Reagor did on that play. And as you'll see later, he did it a little bit later as well, but I'll get to that in a second. So those are the first two. The third play, it's the third quarter, and TCU's gotten the ball, and they're trying to drive down the field. And it's, I believe, third and eight, and they're in their own territory, so not driving at all. Third and eight, they throw a little short pass, and James Lynch tackles the receiver, I believe, about 3 or 4 yards short of the first down. So they're going to have to punt, but there's a flag. And the flag is lining up in the neutral zone by Greg Roberts. So not even jumping off sides. He was just lined up off sides. Absolutely terrible. I don't really have an explanation for that. A guy just not lining up on sides. It doesn't really make sense to me. I've seen it called on Baylor a number of times this year, and I haven't really seen it called on other teams at all. So I am not sure what is going on with that. But it is something that needs to get corrected. That is just unbelievably bad. You know, just sitting there watching the game, to have a guy just not aware of where the ball is, where he's positioned, that just kind of baffles me a little bit that happened. So you allow them to get a third and three, or a third and two, whatever it was, and then they convert the first down, and they drive down the field, and they start taking a nice little drive. And then they're lined up in fourth and one, and so that was the third play, the offsides by Greg Roberts. Now the fourth play is fourth and one at the Baylor 37-yard line, and TCU elects to go for it. And so TCU lines up, and it looks like they're just going to run the ball up the middle, but this is a play where I just have to give a clap for Gary Patterson or, you know, Sonny Cumbie. Whoever called this play, probably Cumbie, but it was just a great play call. Absolutely awesome. They had Baylor off balance, and they knew all they had to do was get around one guy, and it was going to be a big play. And so they ran a reverse to Jalen Reagor. He took the ball. He got around the outside of the defense and took off. 37-yard touchdown run. And like I said, Jalen Reagor was the best player on the field on Saturday, and that was his second touchdown of the game. And once again, that allowed TCU to get a lead back, and that gave them the 16-9 lead, and that's pretty much what they needed, you know, to win this game. And I think they pretty much felt confident that they could win the game with after that play. And so 16-9, and Baylor, well, both teams come out in the fourth quarter and start getting stops. It was just kind of back and forth getting stops. And my fifth play was Baylor was driving the ball, and there's 2:06 left, and Baylor had completed a pass to Treston Ebner. I'm not sure if it would have been upheld as a completion, but if it would have been upheld as a completion, it would have been Baylor's ball at the TCU 39, first and 10, with plenty of time left to go win the game. Instead, it's a holding on Pat Lawrence. So instead of first and 10 at the TCU 39, it turns up first and 20 at the Baylor 38. And then after that, you know, Charlie Brewer couldn't do anything else. But that play right there just kind of embodied this whole game. It was Baylor shooting themselves in the foot once again and not giving themselves a realistic chance, you know, to move the chains consistently against a defense that had played really well in TCU, and a defense that wanted it to be, you know, first and long situations so they could get after the passer as much as they did. And that right there was the difference. to me. And so those five plays, in my opinion, changed the whole outcome of this game. And if they go the other way, if they go in Baylor's favor, just about any one of these would have changed the outcome. I'm not saying Baylor would have won, but I think if any one of these would have changed, I think Baylor would have been in a much better position to win this game late or early. And so, yeah, those were my five plays that just watching the game that were just glaringly obvious that just destroyed Baylor. And it was really unfortunate that it came down to five plays like that. But I know there was a whole game and there were a lot of other factors. And, you know, it was tough to watch a lot of this game. But I'll start getting into kind of certain players that I saw in this game. That the running game was okay for Baylor today. 40 carries, 140 yards. I felt like Charlie Brewer ran the ball really well. He was able to extend drive some in this game, which I think was huge. He was able to keep the chains moving some, and he also ran in for that nice touchdown run when he jumped over the defender early in the game. I think it was in the first quarter, and yeah, it was good to see that. You know, 40 carries, 140 yards is okay. It's not great by any means, but it's all right, especially when you were sacked five times. So you got to account for all those lost yards. And even accounting that, they still had 140 yards rushing, which is pretty good. The line struggled. I'll just go ahead and move into them because they gave up five sacks, nine tackles for loss. They never really got into a rhythm. I saw a stat. And it was Pro Football Focus. I'm not sure if the exact stat is available anywhere else, but it said that Ben Banigou, he had one sack, he had four tackles for loss, but on the stat it said he had nine quarterback hurries by himself. I'm not sure how true that is, but what I do know is he was in the backfield a ton, and he was an absolute nightmare. He was a nightmare. Pat Lawrence had no shot at all in this game to stop him. It became extremely evident at certain points in that game that he was just going to be unblockable. And it was extremely impressive, unfortunately, to see him doing that consistently all game long. And, you know, he's a heck of a football player. There's a reason why he was the preseason Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and he played like it. And he really left his mark on this game, and he carried that TCU defense at times and allowed them to make big plays. And yeah, that just was really impressive. Really, really impressive to see that from him. And that's, again, unfortunate for Baylor. But kind of feeding off the offensive line, because I think they kind of work together. The Baylor receivers, and it just was weird. It was the Baylor receivers couldn't get open, and Charlie Brewer didn't throw the ball to the open guy. So if a guy was open, it didn't seem like Charlie was finding the open guy. And then on the other part of that, the receivers just weren't getting open. They weren't creating a whole lot of separation, and it just was rough. It was really rough to see the TCU secondary just dominate like that. And really surprising as well, because this Baylor receiving corps has, you know, been so hyped up and has had so many great moments this year, but they didn't. They just did not in this game, and really discouraging to see that. And I think that that's something that's going to need to be addressed coming into this Texas Tech game, because the Baylor receivers are going to have to make plays against Texas Tech, plain and simple. That's how you beat, you know, a lot of these Big 12 offenses or Big 12 defenses, is you have receivers that go and get the football. They just go and they make a play. And Baylor just has not really had that at times this year. I know Jalen Hurd has been great, but at times it just has not worked out. And it never was more evident than it was in this game. It was bad. It was really bad and really tough to watch. And this offense has a lot to figure out and a lot of growing to do. And I think we figured out that, you know, Jamichael Hasty is a big deal. And I like Lovett, but Lovett fumbled the ball once again in this game. And you can't have that. You just cannot have that. And Hasty has had fumbles in his past, sure, but Hasty has been pretty reliable with the football as of recent, and I think they did miss him. I really do, and he's a guy that hopefully will be back for the Texas Tech game because I think they're going to need him in a big way, a really big way, just based on what I saw from the run game. So, yeah, that's pretty much all I got on the offensive side. On the defensive side, you know, I would love to come away really encouraged by the defense because, you know, you look at the stats and they only gave up 311 yards of total offense, which is good. But there's just a few things that I just continue to have problems with. The explosive plays, they had the two big ones that led to touchdowns were given up by the defense. Zero turnovers. Once again, not surprising. It's something that has happened to Baylor all year. But, you know, TCU was down to their third-string quarterback. And Baylor still couldn't find a way to force a turnover to, you know, really put their foot down and get in the backfield and get a strip or something, a game-changing play that it just felt like they needed. And they just couldn't do it. They had 8 tackles for loss, but they only had 1 sack. And I just felt like it was a good effort. It really was. 16 points, you're going to win a lot of games like that. But, you know, when there's a third-string quarterback in, I just feel like there needs to be a higher level of dominance than what was shown. And that's just the way I felt about it, especially when you saw how, you know, the offense was struggling. It was really the defense's time to go out and make a play. Now, a big part of that, I will say, was the game flow. And the game flow was probably one of the bigger issues in this game for Baylor because, you know, TCU just never felt any pressure to have to go and make a play. And that's a big part of why the defense wasn't able to make turnovers because, you know, it was 6-3. I believe if you're able to score a touchdown, get to 13-3, and really force them to have to throw the football because they know they got to score points, that's when turnovers can happen. But because the game was 6-3, then 9-6 TCU, then 9-9, and then 16-9 TCU, they felt so content to run it on first and second down and then just hope they converted on third down. But they wasted the clock. They let it run down. And, I mean, it was a good game plan. There's really no other way to put it. It was a really good game plan by TCU. They held the ball for 34 minutes. They decided that, you know, once it was clear that their defense was going to be able to get some stops, they decided, you know what, we're just going to run the football, hope our defense can get this win for us, and go home. And that's exactly what they did. And, you know, they performed well. They performed their game plan well, and their defense came out with a dominating performance. And at the end of the day, that's what won them this game. And they did some other things pretty well on the offensive side with those couple of explosive plays. And that was pretty much it. That was pretty much a wrap from this game. And just a tough loss for Baylor, a really, really tough one. And they're going to have to rebound in a big way against a Texas Tech team that's coming off a tough loss as well. So it'll be interesting to see if they can, you know, regroup going heading into that game. But yeah, a couple of observations I just wanted to make were I felt like Charlie really, I don't know what it was, he just really struggled in this game. And the offensive line is just not, you know, it's kind of just everything that we've talked about for, you know, weeks now. And you know, the Baylor offensive line is deceiving sometimes because they did really well against Oklahoma State, did really well against Kansas State, have had good performances, but then they come out and play like this where they just get completely dominated and it loses you a game. And so I don't know what was up with that, but it definitely affected Brewer, how many times he was getting hit and how many times they were getting through the TCU defenders were getting through the Baylor offensive line. And that was tough to watch, really tough to watch him just have to stand back there and take the beating he was. And it seemed like he could never get comfortable, could never just sit in the pocket and find the open guy because he was just running for his life or just had to kept looking at the offensive line because it wasn't holding up well. And You know, that was a big problem in this game. Now, one thing I noticed, and again, I don't know if this was just a one-time thing or what, and I know Baylor has been talking about, you know, the 3-4, running a 3-4 defense, and they've run it at times, but in this game, they stuck to it the whole game. The whole game, they stuck to it, and, you know, it worked. It did. It worked at times, but I just feel like in this particular game, like I mentioned, when a third-string quarterback comes in, I just felt like they needed to find a way to really get pressure, really try to make an impactful play, and I just didn't see that. It felt like, let's just get a stop and move on. Let's just get a stop and move on. We'll give up some yards, and then we'll just get a stop, and they'll punt, and that's great, and that works in a lot of games, but I think when you were watching the Baylor offense in this game, I just felt like you had to be thinking, all right, we need our defense to do something here. We need to get a sack. We need to get a strip. We need to, you know, do something like that. And the 3-4, it just didn't seem like they were getting much pressure on the quarterback, really. I didn't see a whole lot of pressure getting put on, Muhlstein. I know they got some on Collins, and, of course, he got banged up on one, but I just didn't see a whole lot. And so that was an issue, and I'm not sure if I know the 3-4 will probably be used next week against Tech, and I think the 3-4 can work, but I think the linemen just need to, I don't know what it is, but I think they need to get better, first of all, and I think that the blitzes need to be called maybe a little bit differently, but again, you know, we continue to talk about this. I just don't know that there's the personnel there to make that happen, and I think that they're running into a problem with that. A lot. I think that that's becoming a glaring issue, is that the personnel is just not there for those things to happen. And so that's going to be something to look, you know, as Baylor moves forward, that, you know, to watch. And we've watched it all year long, and it's been interesting to see, you know, the growth, and then kind of maybe it's fake growth at times, with some of the guys, and then some of the guys you see flashes and you go, okay, here we go, but then they just kind of revert back to previous games. And so I don't know what it was, but there was just, I just don't know if the 3-4 was great for this game. I felt like there were opportunities to, you know, force bigger plays, and the 4-3 might have been better at that. Now, I could be wrong on that, very well could be, but the lack of pressure just tells me that they maybe needed a fourth down lineman to create that pressure, because it just wasn't happening. And it was against a TCU offensive line that really has not been very good at all this year, and on your home field as well. So definitely not encouraged there by that. But a few guys that I just want to say had pretty good games. Clay Johnston, again, continues to show growth. And that's extremely important. He continues to grow and grow and grow. He had 15 tackles this week. He's been awesome. He had 1.5 tackles for loss as well. He's been really, really good, and that's been fun to watch without a doubt. And so as he gets better and better, I think Baylor will get better and better defensively. As these young guys grow, they'll continue to take steps. Henry Black had a sack, 2 tackles for loss. He played a lot of safety in this game. I really enjoyed what I saw from Henry, and he looks like a guy that, you know, could be poised for a big year next year. And we'll see if that happens, but it seems like he may be a guy trending in that direction. Verkedrick Vaughn's awesome. You know, I felt like he had a really good game today. Obviously, he wasn't perfect, but I think he played extremely hard and really did some things today that were impressive to me. And, you know, in his, you know, senior day game, that was really cool to see, along with Ira Lewis. Ira had some big plays as well in this game, and, you know, they were able to keep Baylor in it. This defense was able to keep them in this game and get TCU off the field and, you know, give Baylor a shot. But, again, you know, Baylor loses 16-9 to TCU. Baylor falls to 5-6, 3-5 in conference play. They're going to need a win against Texas Tech next weekend in Cowboys Stadium to become bowl eligible. But, yeah, again, the Baylor Bears fall to the TCU Horned Frogs 9-16. And this has been a post-game wrap-up on Sikkim365.com.